Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, DC Comics announced on Monday that the new Superman, Jonathan Kent, he's the son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane, will soon begin a romantic relationship with a male friend. In a more modern world, comic books are changing, just like every other form of art, and adding more diverse characters. Sometimes that causes backlash, but it's a steady evolution for the industry. Liam Burke is an associate professor at Swinburne University in Melbourne, and he's the author of four books on superheroes, including the superhero symbol. Liam joins me now to tell me more about how comic books are embracing diversity. Liam, welcome to the programme. Welcome back to the programme, I should say. First of all, what exactly happened with Superman this week?
Well, this week, DC Comics have announced that Superman is going to come out as bisexual. In an upcoming issue of the Superman comic books, he will kiss his longtime friend, Jay McNamara, and it will kind of confirm a hint of that attraction and the character's bisexuality. But one thing I suppose I should kind of clarify for listeners is that this is John Kent. This is the son of the original Superman, Clark Kent, who took up the mantle of Superman earlier this year.
Okay, now, I mean, that's Superman. Are a lot of comic books updating characters for a more modern era?
Yeah, I mean, these characters have been in publication for more than 80 years. So characters like Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, first published in the late 1930s. So there is this kind of long tradition of updating these characters to kind of, you know, reflect the changing time periods. And if anything, because these characters are published every month and have been for the past 80 years, they're a more direct and sort of honest reflection of the wider world than like an Oscar-winning movie or Pulitzer Prize-winning play, which tends to be a bit more self-consciously produced.
So it's almost easier for them in some ways, you know, just stick with the times and you're laughing in some ways. So give us some examples of what you're talking about.
I mean, there's lots of kind of like practical examples. So like when Spider-Man or Peter Parker was first created in the early 1960s, it was really cool to be a photojournalist in a newspaper. That's not the case anymore. So more recent versions, he'll be like a web designer and the Daily Bugle will be a website. Yeah. But where, I mean, we kind of see a big meaningful change, I suppose, is greater kind of, you know, diversity or updating of who gets to put on the cape and cowl of the superhero. So in recent years, a lot of long-standing heroes have had, you know, women take over the role. So there's been a female version of Wolverine or Thor, or even like, you know, a Pakistani-American character like Kamala Khan, who became Miss Marvel, and she'll soon have her own TV series. So I think like one of the real updates we've seen is who gets to wear the spandex.
Well, if I was to ask what's driving the change, I'm making it look as though there's something big happening now compared to what used to be. But actually, there isn't. This is just the way it is, isn't it? I mean, there is an awareness of the need for comics to be more representative, but there was always an awareness for comics to stay with the times.
Absolutely. I mean, superheroes were first created at the tail end of the Depression as a response to the challenges of the machine age. This is the era of skyscrapers and you know, new powerful modes of transport. And Superman was the Man of Steel, the Man of Tomorrow. So they've always kind of reflected, you know, the time periods in which they were produced. I mean, they were kind of created by like dirt poor first and second generation European immigrants. So they've always kind of spoken to marginalized, put upon readers. I think where the update is kind of coming now is that it's not just like the nerdy white guy in glasses who gets to be the hero. And I think that's kind of also symptomatic of the readership of comic books has shifted, or at least the visibility of who reads comic books. So certainly women is recognized, younger women, as a kind of a growth area for comics. And while it would be kind of simplistic to suggest that women would only read comics featuring female heroes, similarly be kind of tone deaf not to reflect that changing demographic in the heroes.
But when you look at the people who read comics, are you saying that definitely there are more females, more women reading comics? And if, for instance, a lot of characters have been updated in recent years with female heroes taking over the mantles of Wolverine and Thor, etc., that is reflected in the they do want it, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And like, it's kind of a chicken and an egg scenario. It's like, do we have more diverse superheroes because we have more diverse readership, or do the more diverse superheroes attract that more diverse readership? And I feel like it's not one or the other, but rather a combination of the two.
Okay. Was there much censorship of gay and minority and a lot of other characters in comic books?
Yeah, there's a long-standing kind of, you know, tradition of kind of conservative attitudes,
yeah,
you know, imposing limitations and censorship on comic books. I mean, a kind of a key example is in the kind of very conservative 1950s in America, a very prominent psychiatrist, Dr. Frederick Wortham, published a book called The Seduction of the Innocent, in which he linked the post-World War II rise in juvenile delinquency to the comic books. And this was before Elvis and before TV, so they needed something to blame. So they blamed comic books, and they successfully managed to get comic books banned and get very rigid rules imposed on what could be published in a comic book. And he suggested that Batman and Robin was the wish dream of two homosexuals living together, and that Wonder Woman was going to turn America's girls gay. And as a consequence, DC Comics introduced Batgirl and Batwoman and Ace the Batdog to sort of suggest that, you know, defuse any criticism of the Batman and Robin pairing.
So do you think that, do you yourself think that there were hints of comic book superheroes and characters being lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, but nothing was explicit? It was there, was it?
I think it was always there under the surface. I mean, an obvious example would be Wonder Woman growing up and living on an all-woman island. So, you know, like, you know, for fun and romance, you know, where did that come from? So certainly there was always been this tradition, these allusions, these implications, but it really wasn't until kind of the late 80s or very early 90s in the mainstream comic books that you could have characters who were out. One of the first characters who would have been high profile that would have come out would have been the X-Men North Star. And that's a book that was always interested in notions of prejudice and marginalized people. But today, I mean, there's a whole raft of LGBTQ characters. Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn, even Deadpool would be, you know, LGBTQ characters.
Is there often criticism directed at writers when a character changes our understanding of them?
Yeah, there is often suggestion that it's some sort of woke agenda or political correctness gone mad. For instance, former TV Superman Dean Cain, who would have played Superman in Lois and Clark in the early 90s, he suggested that Superman coming out as bisexual was some sort of bandwagon jumping woke agenda. But it became quite obvious in the comments he was making that he doesn't read the comics. He probably hasn't read the comics in decades. And that's often where this criticism comes from. It comes from people who haven't read the comics in decades, if they ever did at all, and want them to be like they remembered when they were young. But of course, if the comics were like they were 30 years ago, well, they'd very quickly become irrelevant.
So to get back to what you're saying all the time is they've always moved with the times. So historically, were comic book superheroes always based on the most kind of alpha male type trope? I mean, have there been gay characters for a longer time than some of us might realize?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There is kind of, you know, there was this suggestion that it was all about like kind of paragons of masculinity, that, you know, a character like Peter Parker or Steve Rogers, if they could get bitten by the right radioactive spider, or if they could say the right magic word, they too could gain superpowers. But there's always been that sort of need to sort of have the civilian alter ego be more identifiable. So while a reader might aspire to the heroic type, they should be able to sort of identify with the marginalized secret identity. And, you know, they've been nerds, they've been allegories for different characters, but certainly they've been allegories as well for gay rights. I think kind of a key example of that would be the X-Men books, where these are a group of superheroes who are equally cursed and blessed by their newfound abilities and often ostracized by society. And that's often been written quite clearly as an allegory for many marginalized groups, including, LGBTQ communities.
And are we just talking comics here? I mean, like, are these LGBT themes confined to comic books, or will we see them in the film and TV versions of these heroes?
I mean, certainly comic books, because they have a smaller readership and because they are much lower budget than a movie or TV show, tend to become almost like the research and development branch of these large media companies like Disney, like Warner Media. But if something proves popular in the comics, it will slowly migrate to the TV shows and the movies. And that could be something like the Afro-Latino Spider-Man Miles Morales, who was the protagonist in the Oscar-winning animated movie Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, or it can be those LGBT characters. So we've seen, for instance, in over the past year or two, TV series like Loki and Batwoman, which have queer protagonists. And next month, the Marvel Cinematic Universe will have its first unambiguously gay hero in their movie Eternals.
Like, what's happened this week isn't exactly seismic, but let's just say to a lot of people it is. So is there a case to be made that as new generations of comic book writers come along, the changes will feel more organic?
I mean, comic books up until probably the late 1980s were written by, I mean, I'm talking about American Marvel and DC comics here, were written by about a couple of hundred white guys in the New York metro area. And it really has started to widen with the digital age. So, you know, in Ireland, there are countless comic book writers and artists like Maura McHugh and Will Sliney and Declan Shabley. In Australia, where I live, like Tom Taylor, who wrote the issue that everyone's talking about, he lives here in Melbourne. And so that has made comics more global and it's allowed more voices to come in. And also there was this kind of tradition of comic book writers and artists coming from the fan community, but increasingly, you know, the Marvel and DC comics are looking to other art forms and entertainments to bring people into comics. So again, to go back to that, the issue of Superman everyone's talking about, Tom Taylor, who's based in Melbourne, he was a playwright before he was a comic book writer. And so there's a much greater array of voices in comics now, much more women, not just writers and artists, but also editors. And I think that has seen greater diversity, but also more authenticity in these stories. And that's also been seen in the films and TV shows. So whether that's, you know, Eternals, which I mentioned is out next month, it's a movie, it's Marvel's next big movie, and it's directed by the Chinese-American Oscar-winning filmmaker Chloe Zhao. You know, so we're getting more women and people of color behind the camera, as well as, you know, writing these comic books.
Well, Liam, finally, to go back to the top, I mean, we did say that DC Comics announced a few days ago that the new Superman, Jonathan Kent, who's the son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane, let's get it right, he's going to begin a romantic relationship with a male friend. So is he gay? Is he bisexual? What are they telling us he is?
They've told us that he is bisexual, and he's still a comparatively new character. He's only been in publication for about 10 years, which seems like a long time, but compared to the 80-year legacy of his dad, is quite short. He's a college-age kid, so, you know, like most college-age kids, he's probably finding his way in the world. But right now, he is coming out as a bisexual character.
All right, Liam, thank you so much for talking to us again on the programme today. That's Liam Burke in Australia as we speak. Thanks, Liam. See you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dave Fanning, Weekends on 2FM.